All right. How many of you is glad to be in the Lord's house this morning?
Amen.
Amen. We should all be glad to be in this house. We're going to look at two different places, and it may be scattered. Sometimes that's the best ones, though. You know, I have, it's usually when I think I've got it all just like I want to teach it or I want to preach it, usually that's when I struggle the most. I said, because it's not in me, it's in Christ. You know, I have to rely on the ability that He gives me. And that's a lot of what we'll be looking at this morning. But the two places will be Matthew chapter 25. Very familiar scripture because somebody's been teaching on it here lately. But it's Matthew 25, 14 through 30. And then Luke 19. 11 through 27, but it's something, it was just something the Lord directed me to. I'd been looking at faith, you know, that's where I'd got started at, but before we get, I'm going to give you a chance to mark your spots, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear, kind, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just love You this morning and thank You, Lord, for all that You've given us, Lord. Just thank You for giving us the want to come to Your house and worship You, Lord, in spirit and in truth, Lord. We just love You and thank You and praise Your holy name, give You glory for all things. Lord, just want to pray, Lord, You just help me to speak Your word, Lord, that You would be glorified and Your saints be edified, Lord, that we go out into the world as we leave this place, knowing more about You and how to live for You and how to be a witness for You, to be a light into the world, that others would see You in our lives. Lord, just want to pray for all those that couldn't make it this morning, especially Brother Joey, Lord. Just bless him and touch him and raise him up, Lord God. Heal him, Lord. We know You are the great physician. You can do all things. Lord, just want to pray that You'll be in our service this morning in a mighty way. Lord, give me that unction, that Holy Spirit, Lord God, that only You can give, Lord. And we just pray that You'll just move in our midst. You said we're two or more gathered together in Your name. There are You in the midst of them, Lord. Just be in our midst in a mighty way, Lord, this morning. Just help us and keep us safe. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Like I said, it may seem a little scattered because I've been looking at faith, you know. And, you know, Ephesians 2:8 says that, you know, that we're by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And I just kept getting stuck on it as a gift of God. You know, I kept looking back at, you know, all through, even Brother Joey mentioned last week about how faith, you know, is continual believing in God. You know, believing God and what He says, what His Word says. And that is it, you know. And then, but we always go back to that first verse of chapter 11 in Hebrews where it says that, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, and we try to understand that. And I've always liked the way it don't have the word and in there. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, when we look at Christ, He is that substance. You know, you hear people saying, well, I have faith in my faith. You can throw that out the window. If you don't have faith in a person, Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, then your faith is worthless. You know, so we have to put, what is our faith in? You know, faith being the substance and the evidence. Well, do you have evidence that you have faith in Christ? That proves out faith. Well, you say, well, what was my life like before Christ? Is there evidence that it has changed? Is there evidence that Christ lives in me? You know, it says, you know, examine yourselves whether you be of the faith. Know not yourselves that Jesus Christ lives in you, you know, lest you be a reprobate. So in other words, if you can't prove it to yourselves that Jesus Christ lives in you, you can't prove it to anybody else because evidently He don't. You know, so you look at, you know, is there evidence? So when I was looking at that and meditating on that, you know, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We hadn't seen Jesus Christ personally, but we see Him every day in our lives and what He does and what He moves us to do. You know, so that's when I was meditating on faith. And then I got to, like I said, to the fact that it is a gift kept sticking in my mind, you know. We wouldn't even have faith if God didn't give us that faith. You know, we wouldn't, you know, if He didn't give us each and every gift that He gives us, you know, starting with faith, we wouldn't have anything. But we have to recognize where all our gifts come from. And what got me looking at this right here was I was listening to Mike Kellogg, and, you know, like I said, I'd been looking at faith, and he said, he was talking about a segment that him and another guy do on the radio. He said it's a 2-minute segment, but I don't remember how much time he said they spent, critiquing it, getting it down to just, you know, what's going to put the most truth out in the least amount of time. You know, and he was saying that, you know, in that 2 minutes, it's pure truth of the Bible coming out. You know, and I thought, you know, well, that's great, because it's not about how long we preach. It's not about how long we teach. It's not about filling up an hour. It's about teaching you and preaching to you the Word of God and what it says, that you will be have a closer walk with Him. And that's what it's all about. But he got to looking at, he got on a, I don't remember if it was even the same morning, but he got talking about gifts. And, you know, I kept relating. I relate, you know, he'll start on one thing and when they'll play a few songs and he'll come back. Sometimes he picks up where he left off. Then sometimes he'll go on to something else. But they always have connection, you know. And but anyway, he got to talking about gifts and the ability to do, you know, what that gift is and different things like that. It made me really look, and what I started looking at, and is Helen Keller. All of you know the story of Helen Keller. Well, you know, look at all that she'd done, and then look at her abilities. She couldn't see, she couldn't hear, she couldn't talk. You know, how did she do all the things that she'd done? Well, I even found out, you know, I had Jesse helping me look up some stuff on the iPhone. But anyway, found out that she had read the Bible, but she would pick and choose what to believe and what not to believe. You know, and I said that she was not what you would call a traditional Christian. Well, she wasn't a Christian at all if she could throw out facts of the Bible. To me, you either believe the Bible or you don't. You know, it's either the truth of the Word of God or you don't believe it at all. Because you can't believe some parts and not believe other parts. You know, and that's just the fact of life, because He said, I am the truth and the way. He said, you know, everything that He says is true. And it all proves itself out. But anyway, looking at Helen Keller and all that she'd done, I'm going to give you something to laugh at me about. I looked it up on my little iPhone and had different little segments about Helen Keller, and I was trying to pick which one would just tell me the most facts about Helen Keller, you know, in the shortest amount of time. Of course, I'm going to say Helen Keller, Through the Eyes of Helen Keller, was one of the articles. And I said, well, I got to hear this one. So I click on there, and it's just a blank screen, and I turn the volume up. I'm sticking it to my ear and looking at it, and sticking it to my ear and looking at it, and then it hit me. She couldn't see, she couldn't hear, she couldn't talk. I got left at, you know. Because I was expecting something, you know. But that was her life, you know. She didn't hear anything, she didn't see anything, but all that she learned was through that, I forget what you call it, it has the little high places on the pages, you know. Yeah. Anyway, that was how she learned. But so I thought y'all might get a kick out of that. But I was hoping to look up the fact and find out that she was a Christian and God had worked all these things, but He did. You know, everything that she done, God gave her that ability to do it.
That's right.
She didn't give Him the glory for it, but, you know, He says He reigns on the just and the unjust. You know, His grace, you know, goes out to those who even don't deserve it, and none of us do. You know, even those that, you know, don't call on the name of Christ, they still get that common grace. You know, But anyway, that was something that I was looking at and got to thinking about, but it got me to looking more about the abilities. And as I was looking at different things to try to point this out, I guess you would say, I went to Matthew chapter 25. Starting with verse 14, we're going to read through both places, through Matthew and through Luke. Then I got a few commentaries I'm going to read, and then tell you a few other little things, a few other little verses to go to. But it's throughout the Bible, you know, that everything that we do, every ability that we have, we only have it through the ability that God gives us to do it. You know, if I get up here and say, you know, I'm an elegant speaker, which I'm not. If I was to get up here and say I'm a great preacher, which I'm not. Anything that I say that I am, only truth I can have is if I say it, you know, the ability that God gives me to do. You know, whatever I say, I can only say it through the ability that God gives me. You know. So, Matthew chapter 25, and starting with verse 14, says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Now, before I get to the end of this, you know, we'll look through Luke also. When you first read this, you're thinking, you know, well, you could apply this to God and his servants, you know, Christians. But as we read through that, you can't do that. Because it's saying, you know, that the ones that didn't obey were cast out into the into hell, where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know, if they were truly his servants, then you couldn't say that, you know. So we're going to find out that these two illustrations here are proving a point of, you know, like you said, what the kingdom of heaven is like, and how we are to treat everything that he gives us, every talent that he gives us, every gift that he gives us, everything, you know. We got to remember, we're just stewards over it. We don't own it. You know, nothing that we own, we don't own. You know, we're stewards over it, and it all belongs to God, and we're to be the best. And, you know, he says that good and faithful steward. That's what we're to be over all things. Like I said, when I got to looking at Helen Keller, and, you know, we think, you know, if you didn't have one of those things, whether it be hearing or seeing or speaking, you know, if you're lacking one of those, how awful it is. But to be lacking all of those and still bring glory to God is what we got to do. You know, and that not just physical things, but there's a lot of times my reading is terrible. I mean, always has been. During school, I was sort of like Brother Joey. I would avoid book reports. I would do a book report, but when it come time to reading it, I would have some reason I could not read it. You know, because reading in front of people has always been trouble for me. It's like my mind wanders, my eyes lose place, and it's like, you know, it's always hard for me to do. But any success that I have is success that God has given me. All right, verse 15 says, "And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." You know, a lot of times we think, well, why don't God make me rich like this guy over here? Why don't God, you know, let me win the lottery, or let me be a millionaire, or let me do, you know, it may be that I couldn't handle that. It may be that I would not use that money to the glory of God. It may be, God knows the reasons, you know, but which is more important? The true riches, which is the word of God, and glory to his name, or earthly riches, which is just money and wealth and fame and fortune, you know, the thing that the world looks up to. So which is more important? I think I'd rather have Christ. Amen. All right. Verse 16 says, "Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Well, God knew when he, or here it is, the illustration. He knew when he gave him those five talents what he was going to do with them. That was the reason he gave that particular man those five talents, because he knew that he would make the best investments to get more profit. It's just like at work. A whole bunch of hand arc welders. But some of them can do more than others can. We've got some that can do all the skills of cutting torches and gas welding and brazing and just everything. We've got some that can just MIG and stick weld, and that's it, you know. We've got some that can MIG and stick weld, but not very good, you know. We've got some that's just real good at that, but they can't do nothing else. Well, our supervisor has to know which welders are best for each position, you know, to get the best out of them, you know. If they kind of can do all of it, they can fill in as a salvage welder because they get to replace and fix, you know, replace parts, and they got to understand how to read blueprints and put everything, you know. So supervisor has to put the one who has the ability to do all that at a salvage welding job. You know, he may take one who can just weld real good and not very good at some of the other things, and may put him on the finished tank line just to repair welds and make the welds look good, you know. But what I'm getting at is that supervisor gives out jobs to the ability of the employee. Well, here, he was giving out talents to the ability of the ones who was receiving the talents. And that's what God does with us. You know, like I said, Brother Joey is our pastor because his ability, well, God chose him to do that, you know, first of all. And you have to be chosen of God to do something like that, which we may look at here in a little bit. Because of all the gifts of God is what he chooses to give us. It's not ours. It ain't because you say, well, I want to be a preacher. I want to be this or I want to be that. You know, and there's a lot of churches that'll teach that. You know, they'll teach, well, all you got to do is want it and he'll give it to you. You know, God's going to choose what your abilities are and work around that. You know, and it could be that you don't have the ability to do something and God chooses you to do it, but he's going to provide you that ability, you know. So it's not always in what we want, but what God wants for us to further the gospel. All right. Verse 17 says, and likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. So he, you know, got exactly the same amount, more. He doubled it. Verse 18 says, but he that had received one went and dug in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, Lord, this servant cometh and reckon with them. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside the five talents more. Said, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, that is what we should want the Lord to say to us. You know, when we go to heaven, in all that we've done, we know that we didn't do it. We didn't earn our way to heaven. We didn't do it to go to heaven. But whatever we have done, we would like to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We won't be considered that good and faithful servant. He says, thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. He said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou wast a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talents in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. In other words, he done nothing with it. All he got was received it, dug a hole, stuck it in it, and didn't do anything. Didn't try to gain anything. It says, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I have not sown, or where I sowed not, and gather where I have not straw. He said, thou oughtest therefore to have put in money into an exchanger, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. He said, take therefore the talent from him, and give to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and to him shall have abundance. But from him that have not shall be taken away even that which he hath. It says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right, that's where I said that, you know, that excludes him from being a Christian, a true Christian. Because he says that he will be with us until the end, that we will not turn from him. He will put a covenant in our heart that we shall not turn from him. You know, so just looking at here, we don't want to be that unprofitable servant. We want to be that profitable servant. And he says, for everyone that hath shall be given, and to him that have abundance, from him shall not be taken away, even that he has. If we have the Word of God, and we read it, and we study it, and God puts it in our heart, puts it in our remembrance, you know, we can draw from it. It's a river of living water. It's a well, a living well. You know, it's the Word of God that just flows, and in everything that we do, God will give us Scripture to get through it, whether it be, you know, a trial or be a temptation. God says He will not put on us more than we can handle. He's going to give us a way of escape. He's going to help us out. But if we didn't read the Bible, we wouldn't know these things. All right, so we that have the Word of God already, and we put it in our hearts, and we study it, and try to meditate on it, you know, He gives us more to go with it, because we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By studying, we grow. But if we just come to church and we never crack the Bible open after that, you know, most of what we hear on Sunday, we forgot by next Sunday. You know, and a lot of people say, well, I don't know how we could have a church that don't have a Sunday night and Wednesday night service. And I said, we have church every day of the week, though. I said, we may not be in the church building, but we're constantly praying for each other. We're constantly, you know, going to the, bringing each other to the throne of grace. We're constantly, you know, having church, because it's not about the building, even though we know where we are required. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together in the house of the Lord. So we're not going to forsake it. We're going to come every Sunday. But nowhere in there it says you have to be in there 3 times a week. You know, nowhere in the Bible it says that. But that's just like the Lord's Supper, like Brother Joy was talking about. You know, it don't say anywhere in there that it has to be once a week. But he says, doing it often as you remember me, you know, we can do that every day. All right, now turn to Luke chapter 19. And I guess the thing that I got to looking at and making some copies of different things was gifts from God. It's what our Sunday school lessons will probably be about the rest of the week. Lord willing, you know. If he changes it, we'll go with that. But I was looking at gifts from God. And as I got to looking at that, you know, of course he starts off with spiritual gifts. And he talks, the first one being Jesus Christ. You know, the gift of eternal life through Christ. And then he talks about the Holy Spirit. And there was... just in the little book I was looking at, there was 6 pages just on the Holy Spirit. So I said, well, you know, we're going to have to condense some of these as we go through them. But That's something we're going to look at in Sunday school. And it goes on down about wisdom, about repentance, faith, temporal things, you know, food, raiment, it raining on the just and the unjust, the rain, the sunshine, all the little things that God blesses us with, you know, and in the scriptures that tells us about it. But we're not going to go there this morning. We're going to look at Luke chapter 19. And start with verse 11 through 27. It says, "And as they heard these things, he added and spoke a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear." You know, and right before that, he says, "Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come unto the house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." You know, so, and you can back up and read the chapter 18. All right, verse 12, he says, "He said, Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him." You know, and that could have been the trouble with the talents a while ago. You know, the one who buried the talents. A lot of people hate to see other people succeed, even in businesses. You know, I know some that they'll like one supervisor, and that supervisor will leave, and another supervisor will come in, and they're not going to try to help this new supervisor at all. You know, and it's wrong. You know, we know that. But they're not Christians. They don't care. All they look for is, well, I'm gonna kick back, not do nothing, because, you know, they give him the job instead of looking over me or whatever, you know, whatever the situation would be. There are people who hate to see others succeed, and they're going to do everything they can to keep it from happening. And like here with the talents, you know, and he said, he went and buried the one talent, didn't do nothing with it, because he didn't see what he was getting out of it. It was all about himself, you know. He was self-centered. He wasn't looking to help his Lord, but he was looking to help himself. And if that wasn't going to help himself, he wasn't going to do anything. And that's the way a lot of people are. And here's basically the same thing. He said unto them, "Occupy till I come." But his servants hated him and sent a messenger after him, saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us." And like I said, you can look at this even as a workplace, where people are not going to have somebody be supervisor over them, you know, with ease, I guess you would say. They're not going to go along with everything that's said. They're not going to do things to help. I know some, even with our supervisor now, and it just irritates me the way they act, the way they do, you know, because he's such a good man. The one supervisor we have now goes out of his way to help people, you know, and they just walk all over him. You know, some of them, you know, not all of them, but there's some that just are just disgusting. It says, "And it came to pass that when he would return, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. It says, then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came and said, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And right there is different abilities. You know, you got one who gained 10, you got one who only gained 5, but each was given 1 pound. You know, and that's their different abilities. But he didn't punish him because he didn't gain as much, you know, because he was doing it to his ability. You know, like with teaching, I'll be the first to tell you, I'm not near the teacher Brother Lamar is, but I teach to the ability that God has given me. And I'm sure Brother Lamar teaches to the ability that God has given him. And, you know, and I I know that he's doing it through the power of Christ, but I still, you know, commend him for it. I think he does a great job. All right. Verse 19 said, he said, likewise unto him, be thou also over five cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. You know, same as the other guy digging a hole and putting it in it. He done nothing with it. Therefore I feared thou, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou hast not sown. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee. In other words, you've just told on yourself. You know, he just let us know how it really is. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I had not laid down, and reaping where thou had not sowed. He said, wherefore gavest not thou my money unto a bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury. You know, it wouldn't have took any effort. Just as little as stick it in the bank and let it collect interest. You know, would have at least showed some effort. It's verse 24 says, and he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that has 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that to every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath be taken away from him. But those mine enemies would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Does that sound familiar? There's so many in the world that hear the word of Christ and they will not have Christ reign over them. What's he going to tell them? He's going to cast them into the pit of hell, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth, because they will not submit to him. They will not turn to him. They will not, as the world says, accept him. You know, even though we know that we are the ones who are accepted in the beloved, we are the ones that are chosen. We know that God is the one that draws us. But he still tells us to make a choice. And will they choose not to serve him? So they'll be cast into hell, where those who do serve him want to serve him to the best of their abilities. All right, now I'm going to read a little commentary. I got another little scripture I'll come back and read, but starting, trying to think of life's application, had some of this right here. It says, the master divided the money up among his servants according to their abilities. No one received more or less money than he could handle. You know, and I thought about, like I said, of the temptations. He said he will not put more on us than we can handle. And he says, if he failed in his master's assignment, his excuse could not be that he was overwhelmed, because he's not going to put more on us than we can handle. He said, failure could only come from laziness or hatred for the master. And a lot of it is laziness. I forget which, it was in Proverbs, Mike Kellogg was talking about. He was talking about laziness, and he said that, you know, it goes along with wastefulness. He said, those who won't work don't mind wasting. No. Yeah. And it says that, it says, money, as used here, represents any kind of resource we are given. You know, and I like the way they put that. Here, they're using money, but any resources that God gives us, like I said earlier about Helen Keller, you know, he gives us physical resources that we take advantage of, that we don't use, that we don't, you know, each breath that we take, there's people who struggle to breathe. You know, we should think about that and thank God for it every day. Every talent, every gift, everything that God gives us, you know, people, you've heard the comments made, you know, if you count your blessings, you won't have time to complain. You know, and that's true. If we just look at each blessing that we have, you know, there's people missing fingers, missing arms, missing legs, missing all kinds of body parts. And here we are with all of our body parts. But we need to thank God for it every day. God gives us time, ability, gifts, and other resources according to our abilities. And He expects us to invest them wisely until He returns. You know, sort of just like the parable was showing, until the Lord returned, you know, what are we doing with what God has given us? You know, and a lot of times, even shamefully myself, I have to say nothing. There's times that I have things that I could do for the Lord, and I do nothing. And a lot of times it's, you know, it may be at work. I had an example I was thinking of last night, and it slipped my mind. But there are times when there's things that we can do, things we have the ability to do, the skill, the know-how, you know, and we can physically do it, but laziness can slip in. And when we I'll do it later. You know, we procrastinate. We'll go ahead and we got other things that we can do, and we'll wait till the last minute to do that for God. You know, when really the things we need to do for God we should put first, and then He'll give us other things to do. You know, He said those that have, He will increase. Those that, you know, if we're using what He has given us. All right, it says, we are responsible to use well what God has given us. The issue is not how much we have, but what are we doing with what we have? Jesus is coming back. We know this is true. Does this mean we must drop our jobs in order to serve God? No, of course not. It means we are to diligently to serve and use our time, talents, and treasures in order to serve God completely in whatever we do. You know, and we think about, you know, whatever's not of faith is sin. And if we think about whatever we're doing, we do to the glory of God. We do it, you know, and that was something I thought about at work. You know, we know what the Bible says about whatever we do, do it as unto the Lord. You know, and there's others that, you know, whatsoever they do, they're going to do it as long as the supervisor can't see what they're doing or can't keep up with what they're doing. You know, if it's has to do with production and it's counted, you know, they think the supervisor don't know that they're holding up the line or they're holding up certain things. But, you know, it's sort of like, you know, how the Lord sees all things. The supervisor basically can see what's going on with that line, and he knows, you know, they have little walkie-talkies, the lead men do, and the forklift drivers, and certain operators, and they all communicate with the supervisor, and they let him know, you know, he wants to know how many we got. And they also have it's a counter anyway, and it detects the efficiency of the line, and it all runs on computers to each supervisor's office, and, you know, so everybody can tell what that line is doing, you know. But these people are so stupid, they think they cannot do their job and never have to be responsible for it, you know. Well, there's people who think they can just say they're Christians but never actually live for Christ. And it's just not happening. It's not going to work. So whatsoever we do, do it as unto the Lord. And whatever we have, whatever talent God gives us, whatever gift He gives us, use it to His glory and not our own. It says, for a few people, this means changing their profession. For most of us, it means doing our daily work out of the love for God. It says, this last man was thinking only of himself, playing it safe, and protecting himself from his hard taskmaster. In other words, he was saying, what's the least I can do and get away with it? Where I won't be punished, but I won't, you know. And that's what a lot of people think, they can live their life that way. It says he was judged for his self-considered, Can't even read my own writing. Self-centeredness. I said, we must not take excuses to avoid what God calls us to do. If God truly is our master, we must obey willingly. Our time, abilities, and money aren't our own in the first place. So we are our caretakers, our stewards, and not owners. And that's what I was saying earlier. You know, everything that we have, everything that we say we own, we're just stewards over it. And we need to thank God for what we have and treat it as He is and not our own.
Amen.
You know, when we ignore or we squander or we abuse what we've been given, we are rebellious and deserve the punishment. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 and 11 says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak of the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That right there, we do it to the ability which God has given us, not to our praise, not to our glory, but to His praise and glory in all things, that He would be glorified. And it says, and to whom be praise, dominion, forever and ever. And that's something we need to constantly look at. Anything we do, is God getting praise out of it? Is He getting glory out of it? I'm not going to get too far into looking at how, I guess I'm just going to make a little statement real quick, and you can think in your own minds of scripture to back it up, but Jesus came in the flesh and give us the example of how to give and how to receive. You know, everything that we give, you know, He says He loves a cheerful giver. You know, it's better to give than to receive. And there's so many scriptures that you could just think right off the top of your head that anything we do, anything we give, if we give it with the wrong motive, it's sin. You ever thought of that? Anything you do for God, if it's not in the right motive, it's sin. You know. So, whatever we do, do it to the glory of God. Whatever we give, I was trying to think there's a scripture. I just was glancing at one. They're talking about being not only hearers but doers of the word. And throughout the Bible, you know, He talks about blessing those who give and those who do, you know, and that we're to not only hear the word but to do it. Now this, a lot of people, this one verse in Matthew 16:27, a lot of people will misuse and try to use this as a works doctrine. But we know the truth of the matter. 16:27 says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward every man according to his works. But we know that We are rewarded according to our works, but we don't work to get to heaven. We don't work to be saved. We work because we are saved. And that, you know, here He's just talking about the works, and He's talking about the same thing as with the stewards, with the talents. You know, each one of us have different gifts. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 10. She's all right. All right, verse 6 through 10. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us, you know, and there's a lot of people that don't agree with that. But it's here, you know, in God's Word. It's God who gives us the ability. It's God who gives us different gifts. He says, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. You know, you think about that. When you're given something, give it out of the goodness of your heart. That's another word to say, simplicity. Give it because God tells us to give. Give it, he says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And he rewards us. I was trying to think of where that verse is, and I even looked at it this morning. I don't know where I wrote it down at, but talking about when we give, he will give back to us, pressed down, shaken, running over, and our blessings. You know, we can't outgive God. You know, and people will use that as like a slogan. We can't outgive God, but His Word tells us that. His Word tells us, you know, if you give with the right motive, if you give not looking for something in return, if you give just because you want to please God, if you give just for God's glory, you know, He's going to bless you above and beyond that which you ask. Now, I'm pretty sure I stopped on what I was looking at. Romans 12. Let's see. All right, here we did. I stopped on giving. He says, let us do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. He said, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, don't fake love. Don't act like you love when you really don't. If you love somebody, show them that you love them and do it, you know, with honesty. He said, abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. You know, as we read the Word of God, you know, He shed the light on what is good and lets us see what is evil. You know, so because we are children of light and we don't look to the darkness, we don't go to the darkness, but sometimes, you know, it's a temptation. And a lot of people turn from Christ, which is, I can't think of the word now. Hebrews chapter 6, when you're turning from Christ, finally. Apostasy, you know, that shows that you're an apostate. When you claim to follow Christ, then you turn from Christ and never come back. You know, there are those who backslide, and He says, I will heal them of their backsliding. But we got to turn to Him and ask Him to forgive us of our sins, repent, and not go back to what we were doing. And God will heal us and will bring us back into fellowship with Him. Because that's what we do when we turn from Christ. He said that, you know, your sins have separated you between you and your God. So when we sin, we are really pushing God away. But as we repent and ask forgiveness and tell Him to cleanse our heart, make it white as snow, and do like David did in Isaiah 53. Was it 51? 51, yeah. You know, we have to repent with a true heart, just knowing that we have sinned against God and Him alone. And whatever we do, you know, we have repercussion of it. You know, He says you will reap what you sow. And we have to think about that. Whatever we do, you know, the world's version of it is what goes around comes around. You know, whatever you do, God sees it. God knows about it. And you heard of the golden rule, treating others the way you would have them treat you. You know, that's Scripture. Whatever we do, we want to do it to the glory of God, you know, not to point to ourselves and look at me at what I've done, but to look at Christ and what He's doing through me. All right, so I'm getting off the subject here a little bit, but glory to God for it. And I'm going to stop right here and